Welcome back, everybody. I'm here, again with my dogs, Pancake and Noodle. I apologize for the delay in the episodes. I've had a lot going on and decided to take a little bit of a short break from these. So I decided today, I had a little bit of free time and I thought I'd get back into it. My goal is to make this a little bit more regular. So hopefully, at least by Friday, every single week, I'll have a new episode out. If you enjoyed listening to it, I would love it if you subscribed, and heard more of these spooky stories and conspiracy theory things that I might read aloud. So I appreciate those who have listened. I appreciate your support. I don't know if you came across my channel randomly or, how you came across it, but I'm glad that you guys listened and I hope I entertained you. Today I am just doing, it's going to be a really short little story, but it's not so much a story as it is just a, more of like a, a little bit of information, background about some songs. So this is on the, subreddit Scared Shitless. And a lot of these aren't so much, some of them are made up. Some of them are just kind of spooky coincidences that are out there. And so this one here, today I'm going to read is called "There Are Cursed Songs Out There," and it's marked as true. So take that with a grain of salt. It may be true, may not, who knows. They always say, like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie at the end, it said based on true a real life event or based on true story, and we all know that that was incredibly dramatized. So take that for what it is, the tag there of it being true, but we will see, and I'll let you make that determination on your own. So without further ado, here's some information about some cursed songs. How can a song be cursed, I hear you ask? Well, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to give you two examples. They are real songs and the events surrounding the unfortunate artists and music industry people who have performed, promoted, and come into contact with these songs provide a vivid reminder that some notes and chords just shouldn't be put together into a single piece of music. You can download and listen to these songs if you want to, but I wouldn't recommend it. I mean, why take the chance? The first song is called "Ready and Steady" by D.A. This song was written and performed by a man named Dennis Armand Lucchesi in 1979. It was the height of the punk movement, and Dennis had dreams of being a star. He brought the lyrics and a rough version of the music to his best friend, Jim, who was known as a good musician in the neighborhood and had a few low-level connections in the radio business. Jim helped Dennis polish the song lyrics and finalize the music, but he had an odd feeling about the finished product. It just didn't sound right somehow. He eventually became so unsettled by the song that he asked Dennis to remove his name from the writing credits. Dennis paid Jim and began performing the song in bars and clubs, where he usually played his guitar and sang covers of popular punk tunes. "Ready and Steady" never got much of a reaction, except from a few people who would tell Dennis it was weird after the show. Eventually, he spoke to a local DJ, and some say after a $50 bill changed hands, the song was added to the playlist. A few other stations picked up the odd tune, and airplay rose high enough for "Ready and Steady" to crack the Bubbling Under the Hot 100 chart at 103. It looked like Dennis was on his way to becoming a star, but wait. Within a few weeks, Jim developed a debilitating back problem that laid him up in bed for a month. When he finally was able to get out of the house, he found that Dennis's song had inexplicably fallen off the charts. It seemed program directors wouldn't play it. When Jim contacted Dennis, he was shocked to hear his friend had given up his career ambitions. He sounded different, almost like he'd been traumatized by something. Dennis didn't want to talk, and Jim let him go. He never spoke to him again. Dennis became a real estate lawyer and lived alone for a few years until he died suddenly in his sleep. His death mystified doctors, who would find nothing wrong with him during an autopsy. Even stranger, when Jim went to the radio stations to get a copy of the record he had co-written with Dennis, he was told they didn't have any. They destroyed them all for reasons no one could explain to Jim. Each station told the same tale. Somehow the copy of "Ready and Steady" they had played for weeks had been misplaced or, even stranger, intentionally destroyed or thrown out. Jim had one rough tape of the song in his basement, but for some reason he couldn't bring himself to play it. He'd put it into his tape player and his finger would hover over the play button. But the thought of the first few notes of Ready and Steady playing from the speakers filled him with indescribable dread. Eventually, he tossed the tape into a box and stored it in his basement. It was probably for the best, as the song was cursed. The second song is called Twilight Cafe by Susan Fassbender. This song was a big hit, reaching number 21 in the UK chart in 1981. Once again, however, bad luck would befall almost everyone even slightly related to the song. Fassbender wanted to release more singles and perhaps make a full album, but both record executives who'd greenlit Twilight Cafe died suddenly. Their replacements had no interest in Susan, and she was released from her contract. She thought she might be able to tour with her band and drum up more interest from other labels, but her bandmates began to suffer strange accidents as well. Her drummer Gary broke both legs in a car crash. The guitarist Mike got unexpectedly divorced and quit the band. Another bandmate, Kay, developed a chronic disease and had to stop touring and playing gigs. Susan soldiered on for a few years, but eventually realized her dreams were dead. Despondent, she committed suicide in 1991. To this day, people claim that listening to the song Twilight Cafe can bring on bad luck and misfortune in people's lives. Most wedding DJs in the USA will not play the song at reception, and even the YouTube comments section is full of stories of tragedies that have befallen people while listening to the song, including being struck by lightning and hit by cars. There are plenty of other cursed songs out there too. A little research will find a lot of dead examples. Listen at your own risk. Just be careful you don't end up like Dennis and Susan, dead. Now, that was just a short little story, and if you check out the Reddit page with it and the story itself, you could actually find the links for the songs in the story itself. So again, I mean, you know, take it for what it's worth. It's up to you, but you know, I'm a believer in why risk something if you don't need to. You know, if I had no interest in really listening to the song, I'm not going to really go out of my way to listen to it now, especially that I know that it's cursed. So for the rest of this time, I mean, this is a very short episode as it is, but I kind of wanted to maybe try to find some other songs that might have a little bit of cursed history. So I'm going to look some up now, and I'll be right back with a few more stories. Okay, I found a few more. Here's five spooky musical curses. The first is from a song called Gloomy Sunday, and it's aptly, you know, given the nickname the Hungarian Suicide Song. So, you know, if suicide especially is a trigger for you, you know, feel free to stop it now. I will not be offended in the slightest. It's something I've dealt with. So, you know, I'm just giving that fair warning ahead of time. In 1933, 34-year-old Hungarian pianist and composer Rezső Szeres published the breakup song to end all breakup songs. Titled End of the World, it is rumored to have inspired suicides throughout the 20th century, earning it the nickname the Hungarian Suicide Song. The lyrics were written by poet Laszlo Javor and are full of despair over a doomed love affair. For example, "Gloomy is Sunday, with shadows I spend it all. My heart and I have decided to end it all." The song has become connected, at least metaphorically, to suicides that occurred in both the U.S. and Germany during the Depression. Allegedly, one suicide victim drowned themselves while clutching the sheet music. Another listened to it over and over and over as she overdosed. Billie Holiday recorded an English-language version in 1941 that the BBC eventually banned from the airwaves for causing poor wartime morale. The ban wasn't lifted until 2002. This next one is actually about Judas Priest and Ozzy Osbourne. You know, it's a popular theory that the heavy metal songs have actually been the influence for a lot of suicide. In the mid-1980s, heavy metal got a bad rap. The parents of suicide victims blamed both Judas Priest and Ozzy Osbourne's songs for the demise of their children. 20-year-old James Vance and 19-year-old Ray Belknap shot themselves in an apartment suicide pact, an apparent suicide pact. Vance survived but was badly injured and died years later of an overdose. Vance's parents alleged that Judas Priest's song Better By You, Better Than Me contained a sinister subliminal message that triggered his suicide attempt. Ozzy's suicide solution was blamed for the death of a depressed teenager, John McCallum. The cases went to trial, but both were dismissed. This next one here is called Curse of the Crossroads, and it's about the song Crossroad Blues by Robert Johnson. Influential bluesman Robert Johnson died mysteriously in 1938 at the age of 27, a number that holds its own curse status among musicians. I know there was like Kurt Cobain. I can't think of any off the top of my head, but I know that he, in particular, this curse of 27 is actually a very interesting curse if you ever want to look at it. But it talks about how a lot of celebrities, especially musicians, have died at the age of 27, right after becoming very popular and famous. So the eerie legend that hounds his mythic bluesman doesn't stop there, though. Johnson supposedly struck a deal with the devil at a crossroads to become the king of the Delta Blues. He penned his haunting song Crossroad Blues 2 years before his death in 1936. Since then, anyone who has covered the song has encountered tragedy. Eric Clapton, who played a version of the tune with Cream, lost his 2-year-old son from a tragic fall out of a window. The band Lynyrd Skynyrd covered the song and were involved in a tragic airplane crash that killed 3 band members and the tour manager. Skynyrd guitarist Alan Collins suffered a car crash in 1986 that killed his girlfriend. Collins later died in 1990. As for the Allman Brothers, who performed the tune throughout their career, Dwayne Allman died in a motorcycle accident in 1971. A little over a year later, near the same spot, band member Barry Oakley also perished in another bike accident. This is the Deadly Ninth Symphony. This is about Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. Classical music composers fear an unlikely number, 9. There's a superstition within the community that one will die after finishing a Ninth Symphony. Artists by the name of Beethoven, Franz Schubert, Antoine Dolvrik, Anton Bruckner, Gustav Mahler, and Vaughan Williams all passed away after number 9 or did not make it to completing a 10. Modern-day British composer Peter Maxwell Davis seems to have survived the curse, though. This next one and last one is actually about Frank Sinatra a little bit. In his song, I Did It My Way. So old Blue Eyes never would have imagined his inspirational hit, My Way, would get banned in karaoke bars. But that's exactly what happened in 2010 in the Philippines. The Frank Sinatra classic was removed from many songbooks after a number of drunken brawls turned deadly over this song in particular. So the song itself seemed to incite quite a few fights and bars in the Philippine area, and it caused this song to get murdered. I've never heard this song. It's interesting that this song is a song like this by Frank Sinatra caused bar fights, all over the place. Some of them turning deadly. Well, again, I appreciate those who have been listening, and I welcome any new listeners. I know that I'm still working on getting the hang of this and working on putting out quality, a little bit of entertainment and some discussion with you guys. But I'm hoping to continue this, especially during this whole quarantine thing, and I'm not necessarily expecting to, take off or anything anytime soon, but I'm just kind of having fun, I enjoy talking with people. I enjoy hearing other people's stories, and this is about the best I'm getting during all of this, other than, the conversations I have with my wife and maybe while playing games or something, but that's about it. So I hope everybody's staying safe. I know a lot of states and things are opening back up. I just encourage you guys to, remain safe and keep the health of others in mind. I understand that it's frustrating, not necessarily being able to work or do the normal things, but I think now's as good of a time as ever to kind of tap into that empathy and think about how your actions could affect the health of the others in your community, and or even if you want to be as simple as your family. So until the next episode, I will see you guys later and stay safe.